There's something different here. There's something different. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Come on and join me. Join me. Let's worship the Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Lord, we worship you. Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, we glorify your name. We glorify your name, Lord. We exalt you. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy. Jesus. Jesus, you're worthy. Lord, we love you and glorify you. We exalt you. Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Worship you, Lord. I want you to enter in to all that I have for you. You're the one that needs to make the decision. It's your choice to have as much of me as you want, or to have as little. I force myself on no one, but I offer myself to everyone. It's you. It's you that decide. Come in and be with me. The intimacy that I told you about, that intimacy is available. Come in and enjoy my presence. Drink in my presence and be forever changed. What I want to do through you, I can do through no other but you. Choose me. You. Choose me above all else. And I will not. Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Lord, I choose you. Lord, I choose you above all else. Jesus. Above all else, I choose you. I knew something inside was different when I got to church this evening. It's still a carryover from what was happening here Sunday morning. It's the place that He wants us to walk in, is what it is. And he's so sweet and so gentle how he offers it to us. He doesn't push it on us. He offers it. To have as much of Him as you want. Without reservations. That's what He wants of you. All that you are. All that you are. You'll have to pardon me because I'm not going to be in a hurry with this. Because I know this is different. I can tell it is. Maybe it doesn't seem that way to you, but I know it is. Something that has been going over inside of me is about being His disciple and everything that it means to be His disciple. And the fact that that's what we're all called to be as His disciples. And what it means to walk in that. What it means. In that laying down of yourself, every part of you, not just some of you, but all of you. I know you wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't want to know how to lay down more of yourself and follow Jesus. That's why you're here. And that's what I want to know myself. All of me. Not just part of me. I don't want to save any part of me from Him. You know, if you think back, Sunday morning, the intimacy that the Holy Ghost was talking about through Alan, that intimacy, the only frame of reference that I have is the intimacy between a husband and a wife. And do you know there's no holding back when you have that kind of intimacy? It's all or nothing. To have the kind of intimacy with Jesus, it's everything. It's all of you. No holding anything back. Everything has to be out there. He's been taking Alan through 1 John to bring forth what he's showing him. For me, he's been doing it through the book of Luke. So I want you to turn there to Luke. We're going to start off with the place that he started me out, and that's Luke 14. So turn there if you would, please. Luke 14. You know, you read something and you read something, and then suddenly, those words that you've been looking at, however many times you looked at them, all of a sudden you see something that it didn't mean anything to you before until that one time. I want you to look at something in Luke 14. Now, before I say this, you know, if the Bible says something twice in the same chapter, you know that it's doing it for emphasis. So what about if it's three times? Don't you think three times is pretty emphatic? Well, look at this. Luke chapter 14. Verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and brethren and sisters and his own life also. Now look at these next few words. He cannot be my disciple. Now, if Luke only wrote that one time, that might get your attention. Well, let's go on. Verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me. Now look at this. Cannot be my disciple. Twice. In two verses. He makes the same statement. Now does he stop there? No, he doesn't stop there. Let's go on. I'm going to jump down to verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. I read these verses. I can't tell you how many times. And I read those words. But it didn't dawn on me until today how emphatic the Holy Ghost is being about those few words in this chapter, in those verses. What do you think he's talking about here? Being his disciple. Luke. He wrote this. Was he one of the 12 disciples? No. Luke didn't come on the scene until he joined Paul in Antioch. That was the first time. There wasn't Luke walking around with the disciples. So what he received as he wrote this, he received it from the word of mouth and from the Holy Ghost directing him on how to write this book. If there's any Holy Ghost inspired words and verses, my goodness, it has to be this. Has to be. Think about how it's all laid together so uniquely. When Pastor Dave went through and began to break down some of these verses, parables, we find out about the wineskin. Well, that's located, part of it, the account of it is here in Luke in the 5th chapter. But when he broke it down, he explained it in a way that we've never understood before. He got the nugget. He got that revelation out of it. And we realized this is talking about fasting. And then whenever he went into Luke chapter 6, and especially the 38th verse, we realized that this isn't a verse to take up an offering. But see, before then, we were just as duped as everybody else. And before then, we had no idea what a wineskin was for or what the meaning of Luke chapter 5 was all about. But see, he got in there. The Holy Ghost showed him the meaning of these things. Now we know what Luke was writing there in Luke chapter 5 when he talked about the wineskin. Now we know what he talked about in Luke chapter 6 when he talked about not receiving an offering, but forgiving. And it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, talking about when you give forgiveness. But see, we saw those in, let me give you an example. If you took a film strip, I just saw this in my, it just flashed real quick. If you took a film strip and you started dividing those clips up, you'd have one full picture, then you'd have another full picture. But when you put them all together, it's going to give you a whole movie. So what we have seen is we saw the picture, the understanding of what Luke was talking about when he shared the revelation about fasting. We saw the next little film clip. We saw the next. Now it's time to put these all together and start to see what it is that this movie is about. From the beginning of this book up into this chapter, right here, where he so emphatically talks about discipleship, becoming my disciple. You can't be my disciple. If you don't do this, you can't be my disciple. If you don't do this, you can't be my disciple. What I want to show you is he's talking about this all the way up until this point. And everything that he is writing about is how you lay your life down to become his disciple. He wants to show you that. He goes into great detail teaching us line upon line. And it's the Holy Ghost teaching. It's the Holy Ghost. He's the one that orchestrated the writing. And he's the one that put it all together. He's the one that wants you to see what it means. And then he brings you up to 14th chapter. And three times he tells us, if you don't do this, you can't be my disciple. If you don't do this, you can't be my disciple. If you don't do this, you can't be. Don't you? Isn't that? There's a point to be made here. There's a point to he. So let's go back and look, because I want to be his disciple. I want to know how to lay down my life. Let me show you a few things. I want you to be so convinced at how this theme is so intertwined through the beginning chapters of this book. I want you to be so convinced of it. Look at one thing. We already read verse 26. If any man comes to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children, with that in mind, turn back a few pages to chapter 12. Starting in verse 51. Suppose you that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. Let's stop there. Can you see a connection in those verses right there? And why it is that you can't love them more than you love Jesus? Isn't that going to cause a division? Did you always have the idea that there was going to be peace on earth? He told us right here, I came to bring division. There's going to be a division. There's going to be some people that are going to go all in with me, and there's going to be others that are not. You can't decide for them. There's going to be loved ones, the people that are closest to you, that are going to look at you when you go all in with Jesus, and they're going to look at you like you lost your ever-loving mind. What are you doing? You tell them you're going to go fast. Are you crazy? You'll starve to death. You tell them that you want to spend time at the church praying all night in tongues. Well, why in the world would you want to do that? And you tell them, well, the Lord has led me to do this, and it's going to result in me leaving this employer and doing something else. Well, you can't do that. You can't do that. Has anybody ever come across that before? Raise your hand. Somebody's got two hands up. Well, of course you have. You know why? Because they're not all in with Jesus. And that right there will bring a division. I've seen it in my own life. I watched it. I watched when people looked at me. When I made decisions that they didn't understand. When I made decisions based on what the Lord had told me to do. They had no understanding. They had no idea. They were mad at me. They were upset. They wanted to influence my decision. They wanted to manipulate me if they could. Because they wanted something. I didn't plan on saying this part, but here it is. Apparently someone must need it. You're going to face times in the days ahead when you are going to have to make the hard decisions. You have to. There's not going to be a choice. No matter what the people around you say, the ones who love you. I'm not talking about strangers. I'm talking about the people who love you. They have the best intentions for you based on what their rational reasoning tells them. But if they are not all in with Jesus, if it's a casual relationship with the Lord that they have, you can't take counsel from them. Can I get an amen from that? Do you hear what I'm saying? You can't take counsel from them. I don't care how much you love them. I don't care who they are. I don't care if they're your parents. It doesn't matter. He said it right here. There's going to be division. I want to show you another verse. Turn back a little bit farther in Luke. We're heading towards the first part of Luke, if you can't tell. I want you to go back to chapter 9. Here again, I'm going to show you how the theme is connecting. Chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You may not have held your thumb there back in 14, but I did. I'm going to flip there. Doesn't that sound like whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple? Do you see that this theme is going to be carried on throughout the first part of Luke, being his disciple? Here again in chapter 9. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That word deny means to forget one's self. Lose sight of one's self and one's own interest. The person that stands here right now in front of you, I'm absolutely not the same person that graduated from college, that went into the working world, that was driven by money, that had visions of grandeur in my mind about the success that I was going to have in the business world. That's not me. I've changed. That person is so dead to me. Those motivations don't motivate me now. I'm not looking at business deals. I'm not looking at trying to excel in the business community. That's not in me. Why is it not? Because it could be. It very well could be. Had I not made decisions to lay down my life gradually, step by step, little bit by little bit, laid it down, died to those things. Because I dreamed about being rich. I dreamed about having the prestigious job. I mean, that was, I went to college to do that. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed making deals and making money. But when I laid it down, when I died to that, and it didn't happen overnight, it was a gradual process of one little bit here and one little bit there until finally I stand here now at 47 years old and I look back to that person in my 20s who had those ideas, and I'm not that person anymore. What motivates me now? Jesus. And no one else. Nothing else. I'm going to read a little bit more here. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gains the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? I'm getting more confident about this one statement that I'm going to make. In the days that we are heading into, lukewarm Christianity isn't going to exist. Did you hear what I said? In the days that we are heading into, lukewarm Christianity, if there really is a thing, isn't going to exist. The lines will be drawn so rigidly that you are going to have to be in or you're going to be out. The stand that you'll have to make will be so such a strong stand. Now you sit here today and you think, well, how can that be? Well, just think in the past 10 years of what we've seen creep into our society in this country. Hey, other countries, it's already there. We're just fortunate that we're here. We're seeing it on a much slower scale, but it's coming. And what I want you to understand is, it's the decisions that you make right now on how much you are going to turn yourself over to Jesus. that will determine the outcome when those days arrive. If you're happy with just this much of Jesus, I would watch it. My recommendation to you, and you can do with it what you will. My recommendation is go all in. Get as much of Him as you can. Don't hold back. And this thought just came to me. There's some of you sitting right here listening to me. Some of you have dealt with falling out of prayer. What I'm saying to you right now is foreign. Because you're struggling with keeping up with some semblance of a prayer life. Some of you even know, you know that you prayed more in the past than you're praying right now. And there are some of you right now that are really worried about that because you know it's a fact. You used to pray a lot. And you look back now and you think, why am I not praying like I used to? It's because the enemy has come and he's found something in you that he can use against you. One of those strongholds, remember the rope example with the little black strands? One of those strongholds is what he's using to stop you. Now, if you really get to the place that you just have stopped praying totally, and you can get to those places, I'm telling you. I went through a time after hearing this message, after doing this message, after going through times of fasting, I came to a place in my own life where I didn't have time to pray. My time was consumed with work. I worked night and day. I would fall asleep with a laptop on my lap in a hotel room. And that was my life. And that was not as far ago as I wish it was. And I would pray here and there. Was I consistent? No. And there was times before then that I was consistent. That I locked myself in the back room of the house. That I fasted. So don't tell me that you're immune to that happening to you, because you're not. It can happen. You can find yourself one day where prayer is a distant thought in your mind, and you're going to church because you know you better go to church. Hey, if that's you, I want you to recognize what's going on. The enemy has come. He's found something to use against you. And he's being pretty successful. So what can you do? Let's say you don't even want to pray. I've been there. Just didn't even want to pray. I said it before. If you can't do anything else, if praying feels like there's a ton of bricks weighed against you, and you can't do anything else, stop eating. Just stop. For whatever you can do, health-wise, just stop. If it's one meal a day, stop that one meal. But do that until the desire comes back to pray. And it'll come back. I can take my word for it. It will come back and you can pray again. But what you're dealing with, you have somewhere allowed your flesh to grow back into place, and it is exercising dominion over your spirit man. And your spirit man has got to rise up and take dominion. And how it can do that is by you making the decision, I'm going to fast. I'm going to do something to get control of this flesh. And it'll work. It will work. And you'll come back. And you can pray. Hey, do I pray? Oh, I pray all the time. Do I worship? I love to worship. Do I fast? Yes. I do all of those things. But back then, I wasn't. Back then, I was struggling and I knew better. I knew better. I knew better. I knew what I had done. You know what I did? I overrode that voice inside of me. The Lord said, you can have this job. But when they started wanting me to take promotions, He wasn't in the promotion. I was. I liked that. Hey, the flesh loves to be promoted. You ever notice that? It loves it. You want to pay me a little bit more money? Oh, sure. I'll work night and day for you for a little bit more money. I knew better, but I did it anyway. And it cost me. It cost me going off the plan of God into His permissive will for a while. Fortunately, not for very long. All right. I want you to turn back now. In Luke. Let's start in chapter 4. We're not going to go through all the chapters, obviously. That's not the intent. What I want you to see, though, is what the heart is in these verses. What's the heart? The heart is disciple. Becoming a disciple. Chapter 5, verse 11. See, in this chapter, what's happened? Well, Jesus, He went down to where Simon and Andrew were. He got on their boat. They went out. They launched out. He did a little preaching message. And then He told them, launch out into the deep. And you're going to get a great haul. They went out. The fish came in. So many fish. They had to call their partners. So they came out. And the boats were about to sink. When they got back to land, Simon said, oh, I'm a wicked man. But I want you to see what they did as a result of what they saw that day. When they saw that all those fish coming in, this is what they did. Verse 11. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Him. Now, you know, for us today, that might not seem like such a big deal. But I want you to put yourself in their shoes. All that you've ever known is fishing. That's what your family did. That's what their family did. You've been on this lake all of your life. You've got this fishing business. You've got partners. You have people. You have families. You have people depending on you. And because of the events that day, what you saw when you looked, and you've been on that lake all your life. You've seen fish come in. You've seen big hauls. But that day was different. Because that day, the Master was on the boat. And here comes fish like you've never seen in all of your life. You've never seen this many fish. So many of the boats are so weighed down. They're going down. They're sinking. All this. And you're so convinced this is different. This is different. There's something different about him that as soon as you get to land, as soon as you get there, you forsake everything, everything that you've ever known, and you follow him. You follow him. You walk away. Dad, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. It's all yours. No, you can't go. You can't leave. Where are you going? You gotta stay here. We got this business. You see, look, you got all these people here depending on you. What are you doing? You can't forsake everything. What are you doing? That doesn't make any sense. Oh yeah, Dad, it does. Because I looked into his eyes. And it was a look that I've never seen before. When I looked in his eyes, all I wanted to do was lay down my life. Were these guys perfect? Oh, of course not. Of course not. All you got to do is look over in chapter 9 and you'll find them bickering with each other on who's going to be the top disciple. Of course they're not perfect. But they saw something that day that forever changed them. I want you to notice this. Look over in chapter 5, verse 33. Chapter 5, verse 33. Now remember what I said. The Holy Ghost is the one that brought this information all together. Luke wasn't walking around with these guys. After the fact, this was penned. After the fact. And this is what, when they talked about discipleship, I want you to see where it is that fasting is mentioned. Verse 33, chapter 5. And they said unto him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees? But thine they eat and drink. And he said unto them, can you make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. And he spake also a parable unto them. No man puts a piece of new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth with the old, agreeth not with the old. And no man puts new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desires new, for he saith, the old is better. So my question to you is this: why put this verse here? Why put it here? If you look at the other ones, chronologically, it doesn't line up like the other ones do. So why put it here? Because the Holy Ghost wants you to realize something right off the bat. If you're going to be his disciple, if that's what you're going to do, if you're going to make the decision to lay everything down, this is the path. This is one of the main tools that's going to help you to have what you want. And what it is your life laid down for Jesus. Fasting. Fasting is going to change that wineskin out. It's going to change that cloth. It's going to make it possible for you not to burst when the pressure is applied. Because the enemy is going to apply some pressure. And that's one thing that I want to emphasize to you tonight. If we go down this path, and we're going down it, And this path is the path of discipleship, of being a disciplined follower of Jesus. I want you to know there will be pressure. You know what I'm talking about when I say pressure? He's going to look for any little something inside of you that he can twist. Something. And if you haven't dealt with it, you're vulnerable. And this is simply a word of warning to you. Do whatever you can to deal with the strongholds. Do whatever you can, whatever fasting, whatever praying in tongues, do it. If you truly want to progress down the path of discipleship, of being a disciplined follower, of simply laying your life down, then eliminate the opportunities while you can. Because when the pressure comes, and I want to tell you, at times the pressure can just be unreal. It doesn't mean you stop. It doesn't mean you shouldn't go this direction. But don't go with rose-colored glasses on. You know what I mean by that? Don't go thinking that it's just going to be easy, because it's not. It will be challenging. But here is what he's saying up front. You can deal with those things, and here's how. Change out the wineskin through fasting. Change that old garment to a new one by fasting. Now look at the last verse on this. Never really noticed it before. Verse 39. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desires new, for he says the old is better. Now he's talking to people that are living under the old covenant. The old very well could have been talking about the old covenant versus the new. But as I read it today, I'm in his family now. So what is this saying to me? What's the old? What's the old? And what's the new? Well, the new wine has been poured into me, but if I like the old, what part of me would that be that likes the old? Well, you saw Alan's example, remember, where he pulled himself apart and he had the outer man and the inner man. Well, it certainly isn't the inner man that likes the old. Do you know what part of me likes the old? It's the outer man that likes the old. Likes it better. Oh, you don't believe that, do you? You're sitting there wondering, what's he talking about? You know, the old way you lived before you got saved. You don't live that way anymore. I know you don't. Okay, let's look over at chapter 6 and we'll just find out. We'll just find out right here in chapter 6. If anybody needs fasting, if anybody needs to deal with any strongholds. Look at chapter 6. This is the Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. Oh, everybody can live this way. Oh, sure. Well, let's look at some of these. They're so fun. I'm going to start off in verse 21. Blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men shall hate you. I don't like that too well. And when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. I don't ever see anybody leaping for joy when that happens. Leap for joy. And that's not put on either. That's not where you grit your teeth and you act like you like it. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about this is coming out because your spirit man leaps for joy. It loves. It's joyous. But the part of you that doesn't leap for joy, that's the part of you that's part of that old man. Let's go on. I like this. This is good. Go down to verse 27. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. Nobody has trouble with that. Love your enemies. Of course. Why wouldn't I love them? Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. You know, I always, always do good to people that hate me. Always. No, I don't. I ought to. Right now it'd be a faith statement. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smites thee on one cheek, you know what you need to do? Offer the other one. Oh, wait a minute. This side right here, yeah, it's pretty sore. So can you hit me on this side now? Now this is not jokes. He's saying that there's a place that you can walk in and be this way because this is who you really are on the inside. And you're sitting there thinking, I know I'm not that way now. Well, he told us in the previous verse how we can get that way. Let's go on. Since we're all so excited. And unto him that smites thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that takes away thy cloak, forbid not to take the coat also. Especially when it's cold outside. Just go ahead and take that too. Give to every man that ask of thee, and of him that takes away the goods, ask them not again. And as he would that men should do unto you, do also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Now look at the next words. The next words are the keys. And your reward shall be great. In order to have a reward, there has to be something that you were willing to put forth in order to have that reward. See, we're not talking about just the run-of-the-mill Christian here. We're talking about disciplined followers. See, it's the disciplined follower that's going to have the reward. The run-of-the-mill Christian that doesn't do any of this stuff, that just squeaks their way into heaven, that's not the person we're talking about in any of these verses. These verses are talking about the person that will lay their life down and forsake everything and follow Jesus. That's who Luke's talking about through all these chapters. He's saying, if you want to be one of those people, if you want to lay your life down, it's going to look like this. And there's a reward for you if you do this. He mentions reward two times. That verse, and in verse 23, where it says, rejoice you in the day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. In other words, you overcame something. In order for there to be a reward, you have to overcome something that makes you eligible for the reward. What did you overcome? You overcame yourself. You overcame yourself. And in doing so, the real you stepped forward and said, oh, love your enemies? Of course. That's what I do. I love my enemies. See, when the real man steps forward, Loving your enemies is easy because that's who He is. He is love. When the real man steps forward, doing what the Beatitude says, it's like falling off of a stump. It's easy. It's who you are. The reason why, when I read those right now, why I struggle, it's because the real me has not been able to step forward yet. I'm still dealing with the old man. Because why? Go back to the end of chapter 5. The old man still thinks that the old way is better. Did you get that? That's the problem. Go back. I want to show you this. Go back to the last verse in chapter 5. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desires new, for he saith, the old is better. You think according to that old mindset still. You think whenever someone comes and takes something from you, that old man rises up and says, you're not going to take that. And you're definitely not going to take my coat. That's because we think, and I do too, that the old way is better. And that's not how Jesus thinks. And that's not how the real you thinks. It's because we're still programmed according to this world, because we haven't gone through the transformation process to see that this way, it really is better. Loving people is better. Giving, when they steal it, give it to them. It's better. Why? Because at the end of the day, if someone is willing to come up and steal it from you, do you think they're on their way to heaven? But if you show them the love of Jesus, their chances have just improved. Because for the first time, maybe in their whole life, they see Jesus and He's standing there in you as you love them with that love that's been developed in your new nature. You're loving them the way Jesus loves them. They're seeing it for the first time. You've just opened the door for them to receive the Master. What's better? What's better? Fighting them because they stole your coat? Or sharing the love of Jesus? Can I get an amen? That's good stuff right there. That's good stuff. All right. Now, going back. Verse 39, chapter 6. He spake a parable unto them. One thing you'll notice as you meditate and assimilate Luke, he has more parables than any of the other ones. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple, see, there's that word again. The disciple. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceiveth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out that mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Hypocrite. Cast out first the beam out of your own eye, and then shall you see clearly to pull the mote out of thy brother's eye. How do you think you're going to get that huge log out? Because that's what we're talking about. It's a huge log that's in your eye. And you're walking around. Here, now I'm going to relate back to one of my previous messages. The rope message with the strands of black cloth representing strongholds. Well, this stronghold, it's a big one. This isn't just a little bitty one. We got this thing wrapped all around us. You got a stronghold, baby. I'm telling you. There's a big one. But here you are. Let me pull out this gentleman right here. Here you're walking around and you got a stronghold big enough that everybody can see it except you. So here you are. You're going over here to this godly, saintly man, and you're trying to show this guy with, and you've got this. I mean, you're dealing with this, and you're trying to show how to pull this. You got a little twig right there. You hypocrite. What's the matter with you? First, you pull out this stronghold. How would I do that? Well, let's see. This is chapter 6. If we go back one chapter, he talks about fasting. That could be the way to deal with those strongholds. What are we talking about? We're talking about you becoming his disciple. Well, I'm ready now. Are you? Or do you look like this? Do you look like this with this thing, this black thing wrapped all around? Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready, Jesus. I'm ready, Jesus. You just send me to the people that got that have problems. I'm ready to help them, Jesus. And you look like this. I'm sorry, but I think you might have some things to deal with. Do you get my point? Well, that's what he's wanting to show us. That's what Luke is wanting to show us. How to deal with those things. So that we can further lay down our life more. Remember when I told you how I was? Not so many years ago, when I was struggling, when I wasn't praying, can you tell I dealt with something? Can you tell I'm not struggling anymore? If you're struggling, don't stay there. Don't stay there. If you can look at your prayer life right now and you know that 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, you prayed so much more than what you're praying right now, I want you to recognize where the enemy has come in and attacked you. He's not going to stop there. I mean, his mission is your utter destruction. Utter destruction. And if you see that you have slipped back a couple of notches in your prayer time, if you're not fasting the way you used to, if you're not spending time meditating the Word like you used to, it's because he's come in and he's found something in you that he can twist. Something in you that he can do, he can get your attention redirected off of the one purpose. Not two, not three. Remember, we're disciples. The one purpose that you have is laying down your life so that you can serve him. That's your purpose. And if you look at Luke 14, if you look at the last verse of Luke 14, where it talks about salt that loses its savor. Salt here is talking about having one singular purpose. And remember, in Luke 14, up until that point, he has emphasized one thing. three times being his disciple. And if that singular purpose in your life, if somehow it gets substituted for something else, the salt loses its savor. Well, I got to do this. I can't do this, Lord. I got to do this. I got to please these people over here. I've got these commitments. I got this that I have to do. I got this I have to do, Lord. I have this over here. I've got family over here. I've got to please those people over here. No, you don't. No, you don't have to please those people. You please him. You love him. You choose him over everybody else. Everyone else. If you're going to get to the end of the path where you fulfill the perfect plan of God for your life, choose him above everything else, everyone else. Nothing else comes between you and him. You're like, and I want to close with this, you're like the woman in chapter 7 of Luke that comes in with an alabaster box. Notice where it's located in the scriptures. Chapter 7 of Luke. She comes in with an alabaster box. She comes in behind Jesus. She's down at his feet. I want you to see this. She's crying so hard that the tears are washing his feet. She takes her hair. She wipes his feet with her hair. She takes the alabaster. She anoints his feet. She kisses his feet. What is this a picture of? She's worshiping him. Worship. In a room full of people standing there looking at this. Onlookers. The most intimate, and that's what we talked about Sunday, the most intimate picture of worship is happening right in front of their eyes. And they can't join in. They can't celebrate it. They don't have any idea what's going on. But she does. Because she's there laying her life. Of all the people in that room at that moment, which one would you say exemplifies disciple? Her. Not the onlookers, not the religious people that think they're somebody. None of those people. It's her down there at his feet, worshiping him. Discipleship, being his disciple. What motivates you, what keeps you going is that love that's developing through your worship. That's what's going to keep you coming back. Coming back to the well is the love. Get in there. Worship. Private worship. Do it. Do it. Do that private worship. If you're struggling, trying to find a reason why to pray in tongues. If you're struggling in that, you do it, but it's just like, I don't know why, you need some lubricant. And that lubricant is the love. Get in there, worship the Lord, and it's going to affect every part of your life. You'll be shocked. See how these all work together. They're all intermingled. Worship, private worship, fasting, praying in tongues. You can't separate them. You need to do them together because they're going to all empower each other. Amen. Don't be Martha. Be Mary. Don't be Martha. Don't be Martha. Be Mary. Martha was trying to serve Him. Martha was up doing all kinds of things. Be Mary. She's at the Master's feet. I think that's Luke chapter 10. See how it all goes through Luke till you get to the place in 14 where he says, you can't be these ways and be my disciple. It's all leading up to that. This is how you're his disciple. I'm going to read one last verse. Oop, if I can find my Bible. One last verse in Luke 14 and then I'll stop. Luke 14. Last verse is going to be verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsake not all that he has cannot be my disciple. That forsaking all, it's a gradual process. You're not going to do it all in one big fell swoop. You do it a little bit at a time. You lay a little bit of your life down and you go a little bit farther. You pray. You edify yourself. You fast. You go a little bit farther. You lay a little bit more down. You pray. You fast. You meditate His Word. You go a little bit farther and you lay a little bit more down. Amen. Would you stand up with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I believe that I delivered the message that you wanted delivered here tonight. Lord, I believe the people have ears to hear and that they do what they've heard. Father, I know that we're coming into a time like we haven't seen before here in this place. And I know that we have to be ready. We need to be ready. We need to be ready for what the enemy would try to use against us to stop us. Thank you, Lord. If there's anybody that needs prayer tonight, specifically, if you're struggling, please come forward. Let me pray with you. Just pray for grace. If you need any other prayer, come forward, but specifically for that. Amen. Amen. You're free to go if you need to go, but if you like prayer, please come forward now. Hallelujah.